This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Buckets. We are inching closer to the home opener, just a mere 24 days away or something. So let's talk basketball with Billy Scafuri.
You're getting bucket buckets.
Welcome back to the basketball season, and welcome back to us to HeadGum Studios in Los Angeles, California.
Oh yeah, we are together in a room, not on a Zoom, but recording into a Zoom.
It feels like every podcast who has done their first in-person podcast spends the first 2 minutes of said podcast talking about how they are in the same room.
Yeah, you have to address the elephant off the Zoom.
That's right.
Nice.
And in the room.
But we are in the midst of media day, which is kind of a fun welcome back to school vibes.
And yes,
it like lines up with back to school as well.
Yeah, there's two ways media day has gone for teams thus far. Some like the Lakers and seemingly like the Knicks, it's been all positive, playful vibes.
Good vibes.
Showing off the friendships as much as
the chemistry.
Exactly.
Behind the scenes.
They're rooting for each other type vibes.
Yeah.
And then there's teams like the Washington Wizards, where it was like, wait, Bradley didn't get what? He had so many months to...
Yeah. Or the Nets, where it's like, Kevin, what do you think about Kyrie Irving saying that he won't be playing in any home games?
He's
like, I don't know, man. Yeah. Don't ask me about that.
Like, they brought in Letterman to try and, like, ease the burn of Kyrie Irving, and no one was talking about that. They brought in human props.
Does Durant know Letterman? Does he care about Letterman?
My read was, and if anyone hasn't seen it, David Letterman offered up a bunch of questions to Kevin Durant that were asinine. Why is your nickname KD?
Yeah.
Do you laugh when you play against the Pelicans?
Which is weird, just because like that's a bit like Jay Leno would have done in the 90s, and everyone would have cracked up at it.
That's right.
Now it's like we're in the middle of Corona.
You are like an evil-looking Santa Claus, David Letterman.
Doesn't even have a show, I don't think.
I'm pretty sure he retired his show before Durant was born. So I don't know if, but that being
what this
said,
is for, yeah.
I do think Durant was in on the joke.
Oh, so he was sort of deadpanning his response.
That's my read. Do you think the Nets would set him up to fail like that?
I don't think the Nets knew what Dave was going to ask. They'd be like, all right, let's ask all these questions, including Dave Letterman. You get to ask some questions too.
I've just worked on enough projects where when you're going to make a funny choice, so many people put their hands in it. And it feels like the Nets have to be like, Dave, just send us like a notes app of the questions that you're thinking.
So yeah, so Durant, you think, had pre-approved. He's going to ask you what KD stands for, and then you have to say in a deadpan way.
I think there's a Nets executive who knows the questions, and he doesn't tell them to KD, but internally he's vetted them, and he can tell KD, you're going to get a couple of goofy questions from a guy with a long white beard. Just play along.
This sounds like an episode of Veep. Like,
yes.
The Nets media day, which is like, you know, everything's on fire. Kyrie Irving is literally not there because he refuses to get vaccinated. And then an assistant PR guy like, all right, Dave has a few wacky questions.
That is
not
so
now.
Amazing. The fact that the Knicks are the like calm and collected team in New York is such a sea change from what we were all expecting.
It's almost it all happened too much, too fast, too soon with Kyrie and KD.
Is it chaos from the fans' perspective? Is this just like us from the outside looking in and being like, that's a crazy organization right now? Or do you think that it's actually not as crazy as it seems? They all knew that Kyrie wasn't coming, that he wasn't getting the shot.
It seems like it's the equivalent of a holdout. Like, I know we're here to talk about, it's like the Ben Simmons situation. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to ask questions about Ben. What is he going to do? We don't know. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to ask questions about Kyrie. What is he going to do? We don't know. Like, it's just like this black cloud that's hanging over.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, I wonder if the Nets players are like, just get the shot.
That's what I think everybody wants to know, right? Especially in Brooklyn, because like no one's going to tell Brad Beal what to do. He is so much the alpha on that team.
Right.
But when you have KD and Harden, you know, two of the greatest players in the NBA, like I feel like they might have a little bit of like
sway.
Yeah. Think?
I mean, LeBron got it. LeBron was like on the fence for whatever reason.
Were you surprised to even read that?
Yes.
He was on the fence.
Oh, no. I was surprised that there were like murmurs of him not getting it. Yeah. Like, it's a personal decision, and I don't want to say I'm like, it seems like he's the kind of guy like who openly like campaigns for Hillary Clinton. Like, he's not afraid of the political blowback
or science to a certain extent. He like owns a school. He runs a school that teaches science.
Yes. So it's weird that it took him that long.
But it proves we don't know these dudes.
No.
We don't know any of these people as people.
No, but what we think we know about Kyrie is kind of right. Like, I would have guessed if any player on the Nets or Lakers didn't get vaccinated, would be Kyrie.
He has a funny resume. I wish that we had some of like the most famous like odd Kyrie moments pulled up that we could like go through. But two that come to mind was one from this past season when he said he was going to burn sage before every game on the home court.
Yep.
Just felt a little performative, a little like, I don't think that's going to be for all 72 games.
Yeah.
But the one that people forget, and you and I bring it up every so often, when he was on the Boston Celtics, but leaving the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
Game 7 of the playoffs.
Didn't against sit with his old team.
Against his old team.
Eastern Conference Finals, I believe.
Huge game.
Most important game.
He couldn't play because of a broken nose. But that being said, he could have been sitting with his teammates and 100% like giving them coaching or whatever he could provide.
Yep.
Where was he, Amir?
He was getting surgery for a deviated septum that day.
He organized a deviated septum surgery that day and time.
He was a little bit of a mouth breather that year. Mm. He's like, you know what? May 29th, we have game 7, but let's just do it then. I want to get it over with.
Yeah.
In case we make the finals, I want to be able to like be on the bench with my team breathing out of my nose.
That was shady as hell. And then I rewind even further and I'm like, oh yeah, Kyrie, when he left the Cavs, like, didn't he do a little bit of shit talking being like about LeBron James and how like it just wasn't a right fit or something?
Didn't want to be his little brother, I think was the problem.
Right. He was ready to be a big brother. Yeah. Now he's a big brother and all the little brothers are like, don't be so stupid, big brother. Come on. Why do you have to be this way? He is a handful, man.
And the Nets are great. Like, I saw like clips from their media day. I'm like, oh God, I forgot they got like Patty Mills, Javon Carter, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin. Like, they are a stacked team.
Which might be a good segue into what we're doing today, which is that they are, you have to imagine, the undoubted favorites of their division and probably conference.
Yes. And I think they're still title favorites right now. So, okay. I figured we should hop division by division talking about who do we think will win each little group link. People forget that the NBA is even in divisions.
I was about to say the same exact thing. If you were to say, like, name the divisions, I'd be like Northwest, Southeast.
Yeah, Pacific, I remember because the Lakers growing up, and then there's the New York one. And
so there are six divisions?
I think there are six divisions, three per conference.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's correct.
Division winners. No one really celebrates being a division winner, do they?
Well, that's when the Laker fans make fun of Clipper fans. It's like, you guys hang division winner banners. Damn. Because like that's what you do. It's like,
I've heard that insult before. Now that I have the context, that is particularly cutting. Well done.
Division banners.
You had a better record than three other teams. Whoop-de-doo.
You were a 4 seed and lost in the first round, but I guess you won the Pacific this year.
Print a banner.
Okay. And that just means regular season. That's it. Like, you just had the best record in that division is the division winner.
And I've been thinking more about regular season rosters versus playoff season rosters lately, about like, there are certain teams that I think are going to be very good regular season teams, and then you realize that superstars win the playoffs,
right? Because you play 11 people during the regular season.
That's right.
And then in the playoffs you play 5.
LeBron until the wheels fall off.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay, so let's go division by division, and we will try to guesstimate who will win that division, talk about storylines per little grouping. The Nets are still obviously huge favorites to win the Atlantic division, -200. If you make a $200 bet, you'll only win $100.
Yeah.
The second team is the Philadelphia 76ers.
Mm.
Talk about two teams with great uncertainty. They're +270, so like almost 3-1 to win their division.
76ers.
If they get something good for Ben Simmons, is that not, you know, a thing?
They're not getting something good for Ben Simmons. We're not going to go down this road right now. If you're thinking, here they go, another 12 minutes talking about Ben Simmons. They're just not going to get something good for Ben Simmons.
But they're
going to
get something.
They might get Ben Simmons. That's what they might keep Ben Simmons. I think that might be the best return. All this? It'd be uncomfortable.
It'd be weird.
It'd be weird. But to me, when the over-under draft occurs, they are going to be the most fascinating pick. Because they seem like they could be a sweeping under if he just sits out for the entire season. Like, does Tobias Harris, Shake Milton, Tyrese Maxey, and Joel Embiid land you second in this division?
Probably. I mean, the other options are the Celtics, the Knicks, or the Raptors.
Hmm.
The Raptors are kind of rebuilding, so you could take that out of the equation. The Knicks were good last year. Will they be as good this year? or better, because like, you need to be like a, you know, 50 something win team. Mm-hmm. Do the Knicks, who were like in the 20 wins for a while, then became like a 500 team, 41. Can they take an even bigger leap?
That's an interesting bet. If I know that we're not saying who's going to come in second, yeah, in the divisions. It's clearly the Nets. That's just a no-brainer. But I'd be curious what the odds are that the Knicks have a better record at the end of the season than the Philadelphia 76ers this season.
Just guess, looking at the odds, the Knicks are 25 to 1 to win the division.
That's insulting.
It looks like the Sixers have a 90% chance of having a better record than the Knicks.
There is a path that the Knicks can do that.
Yeah.
It requires three all-world superstars getting injured on the Brooklyn Nets. But yep, if that was to happen, I see a path.
Well, what about just the Knicks and the Sixers?
The Knicks and the Sixers, I could see a world in which the Knicks have a better record than the Sixers this year. In the regular season. The Knicks have one of those rosters that I was talking about, which is a regular season roster. They have 12 good players, super competent players that can just be rolling off the bench and just like beating you down over the course of the regular season. Mm-hmm. That same roster will not win two playoff series because you don't have that one superstar in the middle that will do it. So right, that's why I think that the Knicks could have a better regular season than the Sixers, and then Embiid could just crush them in the playoffs.
Right. And if Embiid gets hurt, then the Sixers aren't very much left, because that's no Embiid, no Simmons.
Then they're in the Clipper situation where it's like, are we accidentally in tank mode? We have a couple superstars that are coming back next year.
Right.
TBD.
Okay, so we still like the Nets, and you're saying the Knicks, long shot odds to take over the Sixers. That should be a fun bet, is the Knicks having a better record than the Sixers in the regular season.
Let me put a hypothetical on the Nets real quick for you.
Okay.
Kyrie doesn't play, and either James Harden or Kevin Durant misses three quarters of the season with an injury. Does that team, with either Harden and the Nets or KD and the Nets, win the division still?
Probably, right?
Yes.
They would still be there. One mm-hmm. player gone mm-hmm. for the season, the other one hurt, mm-hmm. still has the best player in that division.
Yes.
So if you put all the Atlantic Division players in one pool,
yes,
the best three players are all in the Nets.
Brooklyn Nets. Yeah. You could probably do that maybe about the entire league. The best three players might be on the Brooklyn Nets.
Able to put Embiid above Kyrie.
Maybe. Yeah. That's a hard maybe. Yeah. Kyrie has won it all.
And Embiid has won it not.
Nope.
Central Division, an even more runaway hit. There's the Bulls, the Cavs, the Pistons, the Pacers, and the Bucks.
Come on.
The Bucks are, you know, overwhelming, minus -1,000. You put a $1,000 bet, all you win is $100. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about second best teams. It looks like it's between the Bulls and the Pacers.
The Bulls are going to be fun, right? I mean,
they're kind of exciting. I saw pictures of their media day, and it was like Caruso, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan.
How was the vibe? Were they vibing out? Were they goofing?
I think they were goofing because they're all meeting each other for the first time. Okay. Alonzo there too.
Okay.
It's not like a Sacramento Kings media day where it's like, these guys again, yeah, we already lost to these guys.
That's fun.
Nobody's fucking new here.
That is like summer camp energy.
Yeah.
Where it's like meet your campers for the summer, and you're like, cool, he seems cool.
Yeah. Oh, Alonzo's here. That's fun.
We were watching the Knicks videos of Media Day today, right before doing this, and Emmanuel Quickley was doing the classic talking to RJ Barrett while RJ Barrett was being interviewed and goofing behind his back, and you love that energy.
You love the goofing. I like the look into the camera and scream. That seems like a hard one to pull off.
Yep, yep.
You're 22 years old. It's like 9:45 in the morning. Yep. Like, come into this room, stand on this green screen.
Yep.
And yell, go Bulls, or into the camera.
Fun story. I was once invited to a film shoot for the NFL where they were filming Drew Brees, Deshaun Watson, OBJ, and maybe one other football player doing the things where they just say to camera, Odell Beckham Jr., LSU, and then they flip a football.
Oh, that's
cool. And then they also had them do the scream into the camera and do all these different things. And when I tell you that Deshaun Watson was not interested in screaming into the camera, they could have been done an hour earlier. And they were like, just like a bigger yell. And he's like, man. And I was like, just yell, Deshaun, please, for all of us.
Something like, is Kawhi yelling? Like, is Derrick Rose yelling? Like, Dwight Howard's going to yell. Like, you're going to get a scream out of LeBron or AD. But like, there's some players like, nah, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. I think you just got to yell. Just yell for the camera. Just yell for the camera. But back to the Bulls and Pacers, because we can get sidetracked by that. The Pacers are a complete mystery to me. Like, if you were to tell me, like, Caris LeVert is going to be an all-star this year and it's his team.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to do with that team.
Right. The Bulls are, like, going to be exciting, but they are also, like, a complete chemistry question mark. I don't mind the Pistons at 80-1. I mean,
80-1.
What if Kate is?
Is this Jeremy Grant's year? 80-1. Put down 100. Win 8K.
That's right.
They have to beat who? The Pacers, the Bulls, the Bucks are tough. The Bucks might get in their way.
The Cavs, yeah, and the Cavs. They can beat the Cavs.
The rebuilt Cavs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did lose Larry Nance Jr. Okay, I'll take a flyer on Detroit. Can you name four people on Detroit?
I believe last time you made me guess a player, and I thought he was on Detroit, and he was. Was it Trey Lyles? Was that on Detroit?
Yes, I think so. I think so. Three others, non-named Jeremy Grant. Can you do it?
Cade Cunningham.
Good.
Classic. And then, you know, of course, the other, not named Jeremy Grant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other two.
Yeah. And the Plumlee's gone, I would think.
Yeah, he might be back.
Wait a minute. No. Mm-hmm.
This is the second week in a row where I have played the game. Who do they play for with Amir?
The Detroit Pistons.
A game designed for Amir to have all the answers.
The Pistons.
80-1 for a reason. Sekou Doumbouya?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Doumbouya. Yeah. Svi was on that team. I think he left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kelly Olynyk might have joined the squad.
Yeah. It's hard to remember anything about the Pistons.
So you, listener at home, tweet at us and let us know who plays for the Pistons.
Yeah. We could Google it, but we really need to hear it via tweets.
Yep.
Here's a sexy division, the NBA Northwest Division.
Mm.
You think you can name the teams in this division?
The NBA Northwest Division. So we're looking at Golden State. We're looking at Portland.
Portland, yes. Golden State, no.
Excuse me? Yeah. Okay. Here's
a hint. Portland is the only team in the actual Northwest of America.
I'm going to pass playing this game, and you tell me who is in their division. Utah, Denver?
Yes, that's right. Denver, Utah, Portland, Minnesota, and the Thunder.
Minnesota and the Thunder. Oklahoma. Where is Oklahoma on the map?
Oklahoma's right above Texas. Okay. Definitely not in the Northwest.
The North? So it's not the North or the West?
No. Okay. No. I think it's because they were in Seattle. So they're like, you guys are grandfathered into this division.
It's a bummer for travel, but okay.
They're 100-1 to win.
Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they the lowest to win?
They are the lowest odds to win. Yeah.
Okay.
The odds on favorite, of course, the Utah Jazz. The Nuggets are plus 270.
I'll tell you. That's a little bet right there. They gave a lot of money to a couple players this season.
Yes, they just signed MPJ to the max.
Yes.
They gave him the big boy bag.
What do you think happened over the summer that they were like, it's going to happen right now. We're paying you right here, right now.
I think they have, if they didn't give it to him now, then he becomes like a either free agent or restricted free agent at the end of the year. So they're like, we can lock in this nucleus of Gordon, who I think they extended as well.
Yep.
MPJ plus Murray when he comes back and Jokic.
Yep.
You wish Murray was there. Yeah. Players are coming back earlier and earlier. Like I could see him coming back from an ACL in like February.
But will they have a better record than Utah at that point?
Probably not unless something wacky happens in Utah. But like Jokic plus good players equals maybe a 50-win team.
For sure. Utah, though, I'm thinking about it. Did they make any big additions in the offseason?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they just kept
Whiteside.
I think he's a big man, but... Yeah, I think they just kept Whiteside. Mitchell, Clarkson, Conley, the classic.
Ingles.
Rudy Gay.
Yeah. Okay.
They just got like... They have Mitchell...
They're
Gobert,
running it back. It just sounds
Conley,
like they're straight up running it back.
And great shooters. Yeah, they're running it back.
So what are they hoping for? Mitchell to just take another quantum leap?
Mitchell to take a leap, regular season to like run away and like have home court advantage and not blow it against the Clippers this year again.
Damn. Yeah.
They got the most consistency in like regular season.
Do you know their over-under win total
that Utah?
Vegas is projecting?
No, it's probably in like the 50s.
Yeah.
Let me see. I can even search for it.
Yeah, if I was 50s, 50 and 30, 50 and 32, 54 and a half, 53 and a half is what I'm gonna final answer, 53 and a half, Utah over under.
I don't see it. All I see is their finals championship odds, which is 14-1.
Still
also
pretty
not
good.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be Utah or Denver there. Portland 8-1 to win the division.
The thing about Portland that like I find myself forgetting, they're good with Nurkic.
Yes, and Nurkic is back.
He's a really good center. And when he plays, he is he puts up massive numbers.
Sometimes.
Does he go on like cold streaks?
I think like sometimes I look and he has got like a 20-20 game. Mm. And then sometimes I look and he's not quite.
They kind of platooned him last year when he was playing with Whiteside, I believe. Or Cantor.
Yeah, Cantor, that's right.
So I don't think he ever got like his full if he was going to get 32 minutes. He never like got like a season's worth of that. And when he does, I find him to be like 20 and 14.
Yeah.
If he can just have a full season, that's a real roster.
Yeah. An 8-1 to win the division. But I just don't see... I do think they're the third best team in the division. I don't think they're better than Utah, and I don't think they're better than Denver.
The question is Billups, right? I mean, like...
right, they got a new coach.
When you see a new coach come in, sometimes it's really amazing.
Yeah, like Monty Williams at Phoenix.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, just like change the whole culture, and everyone played for each other and won.
Yeah.
Could Billups be that dude?
I think the problem with Stotts is that he didn't coach defense very much. So, like, Portland would try to outscore people. So maybe if Billups, like, brings that Detroit Pistons...
Was he known for his defense? His name was Mr. Big Shot.
No, he was not. He's clutch. He played for a defensive team.
Okay.
He played in the era of defense on the most defensive
team. So does he hire his other teammates to be his coaches?
Maybe, or sign Ben Wallace as a backup center.
Yes, that's never a bad idea.
He'd be a really good stretch five. I think he's been working on his corner threes.
I think Nene played in summer league or something like that. That's like, what the
hell? They had two random 34-year-olds on the Portland Trailblazers.
That roster was an odd thing to see.
I forget the other one, but it was like a Nene. Oh, was it Kenneth Faried, maybe?
Faried.
Yeah.
There, I confused him a lot.
Understandable.
Different animals.
All right.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Pacific Division. This one's fun. Lakers favorites, but not huge. They are plus money. So a $100 bet would give you $110.
Okay, interesting.
Number two is the Phoenix Suns, plus 220.
Interesting, plus 220.
Regular season chemistry, their team is, they know what they're doing and they know how to win.
Mm-hmm.
Golden State is third at plus 450.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's like basically Steph, Draymond, and enough of Klay to win a shit ton of games.
Am I wrong in saying Klay practiced with them recently?
He did. Non-scrimmage, non-contact, but like shoot around, having fun practice.
Who's more universally beloved, Klay Thompson or Dame Lillard? By NBA fans.
I mean, those are like one and two in whatever order.
Yep.
I would think, God, that's a good question.
Both different versions of cool.
Exactly. One is just like chill, kind of stonered out. I'm on a boat with my dog and he's wearing sunglasses.
Loves level. Will Ferrell movies. My source sunglasses is right.
The other is like, I rap really well and make amazing shots.
That's right. Maybe, the maybe definition Dame of
is,
cool.
Maybe Dame is slightly more hated because he's sent teams home.
Mm.
Whereas Clay's, although the Warriors were pretty hated by the end there too.
For sure.
Nobody wanted to face.
But the did Warriors. They hate? I don't know if they ever hated. Well, Clay. Neither one of them are hateable.
Yeah.
They're just such cool guys. I think that ultimately Clay's probably the most universally beloved.
Yeah, because he is like a dog. Like he's done nothing wrong.
He wants no enemies.
That's right.
He doesn't wave goodbye after he makes 9 threes in a quarter or whatever.
And he's better at defense.
Yeah.
He's,
and comedy.
Yeah. And he's, God, those are two great shooters. People like shooters.
Yeah.
The Kings are 25-1. That seems like that should be in the Detroit Pistons 80-1 range. I don't see a world where the Sacramento Kings win this division because the other teams are the Clippers who are 8-1.
But they're not. It's so weird. They need Monty Williams.
Yeah.
Like that team needs Monty Williams.
Instead, they have Luke Walton and they will not fire him.
That's such a weird thing.
Like he consistently... I don't think they've made the playoffs in 15 years, which is hard to do in the NBA.
And like the one year that they were like better than average, Vlade Divac was miserable. He was like, we were supposed to be bad this year. I was just like, what are you going after, Sacramento?
They can't even fail correctly.
But they have talent. That's what's so frustrating. Like they have some real good players on that team.
It's true.
So why would they be 80-1 it's just like track record.
I think it, and then it's also like the Suns, Lakers, Clippers, and Warriors are, they have the worst division to be in.
Yeah, that's like, just murderer's row.
Yes.
Like the Suns were supposed to be the average team and they went to the Western Conference Finals last year. Can the Suns withstand an injury to Chris Paul? I feel like the Lakers can withstand an injury to most of their superstar players.
Right. Well, the Suns, I don't know. They have a more like uniformly balanced team. Like it's not like the big three and then a bunch of role players. They have like Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and then like six, kind of like Utah. Like
I'm trying to figure out on the Suns which player you cannot afford to miss for any called 20 game stretch.
Yeah.
Is it Booker?
Probably Booker because he's their we need a bucket, go get it kind of guy. And he's like 24 or whatever.
Yeah.
Chris Paul in his late 30s.
He retires a Laker, correct?
Lakers win a title this year. Chris Paul somehow finds his way to get signed and traded to the Lake Show. For sure. He needs that title. He needs the ring.
Feels like an inevitability.
That was crazy on the Lakers media day where it's like, and here's our future Hall of Famers. And the Lakers just have like this sweeping shot of like Westbrook, LeBron, AD, Dwight. Carmelo's there too. Rondo. I think I might be missing one, but it was just
Marc Gasol is just like on a plane waving down. Also like, I'm one too.
No, we got rid of him.
I know, but I'm saying like he could have just as soon been in the frame too if he wasn't flying back to Spain right now.
Instead it was DeAndre Jordan, who's also another great player who's in his 30s for whatever reason.
So it's obviously good that the Lakers have seven Hall of Famers on the roster. But is it good that they have seven 34-year-old? I did the math last night. I added up their roster.
Yep.
The combined age of the Lakers roster, it was with, I think, 15 players on it, maybe 16, one extra.
Yep.
528 years old.
That's a lot.
Of course, it's decontextualized. No one adds ages together.
Right.
But everyone was average.
But it's definitely the oldest team.
Had to be. Yeah. Multiple 36-year-olds.
Because it has like four of the five oldest players.
You keep bringing them in.
Yes.
It's like, is it Palinka's like looking like just in the age category on Basketball Reference?
That's right.
And he's just like, who's up there still?
Who's 39?
That's is not rebounds, available? Rob. That is not rebounds per game. Like that is straight up birthday.
Is ages per age.
Yeah. We need DeAndre Jordan. That's what we need.
So question mark,
better regular season, better regular season. Do you think that it's Phoenix than the Lakers?
It might be just because of consistency, but I can also see a world where the Lakers have like a year that they had, was it 2 years ago where they were just like, whoa,
yeah,
like 18-4 now and on a mission.
Right. They do have that. If someone gets hurt, there's so many other players to fill in. Russ is suddenly this huge band-aid. My question would be, the Suns were in the Western Conference Finals, or excuse me, in the NBA Finals last year.
Yeah.
So you'd think that teams are going to be, quote-unquote, gunning for them. Are teams going to be gunning for the Lakers more than they're going to be gunning for the Suns?
Probably.
So the Lakers are going to get every team's best effort most nights, whereas the Suns may not.
Yes, I think so.
That is devastating and unfair for the Lakers.
But I mean, that's what happens when you're LeBron and the Lakers, and then you also add Westbrook. I think they're, people are, I mean, that's going to be like the national games and the Lakers are coming to town and you want to test your team and see how they do.
You're betting $500 on the winner of this division. Who do you take?
Probably the Lakers. Cause one, I'm already rooting for them anyway. And two, like even if one of our superstars sits, it's like Westbrook to AD is probably going to beat 80% of the teams in the NBA.
From a profit standpoint,
yeah,
you're saying you'd rather win 550 off of 500 than 1100 off of,
because if I'm not taking the Lakers, then I'm taking the Suns at plus 220.
Yeah
that's not enough yeah,
right, for you to suddenly
and the Warriors
fan.
I think Clay is not going to be back yet. I think he's going to join in the middle of the season.
All right. I guess we're betting on seven Hall of Famers to win the regular season. Doesn't seem that hard.
Yeah. Also, but it's also an age thing. So like usually the older teams rest and don't necessarily care about the regular season as much.
So you're going to rest the 37-year-old for the 34-year-old? It's like at some point.
And then there's Kendrick Nunn who's there for some whatever reason.
And Malik Monk and Taylor Horton Tucker. Like, they're like, we are on Twitch down here. I don't know what you old men and your wine are doing up there.
AD's right in the middle. He's playing games with the young kids. He's getting wine with the old guys.
Who do you think he prefers to hang out with?
LeBron.
LeBron, always.
Yeah.
Always the right answer.
Okay. The Atlanta Hawks are the Southeast Division favorites at plus 120, kind of Lakers-ish odds. Oh, but they're tied with the Miami Heat. Our first tie. So it's either the Hawks or the Heat, and if you want a long shot, it's the Hornets, the Magic, or the Wizards.
Hornets. Imagine if LaMelo just devastated.
That would be cool.
Yeah. The Hawks are the second best team in the East, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were last year.
Yeah. And they were taking out legit teams. Like, they took out the Knicks, who was a good team. They took out the Sixers, who was, like, a good team.
Yeah. They almost beat the Bucks. They almost made the finals.
They were beating teams. Like, they were really good.
And Trae Young wasn't scared.
Exactly. That's scary for us. Like, yeah. He might be Steph Curry, and that might suck.
What an insane trade that was, like, on draft night. Like, two of the best players in the NBA just straight up swapped for each other.
Was there a clear winner? Is it still the Mavs?
Yeah, still the Mavs.
Is the gap closed, though, between how obvious it was that the Mavs won the trade?
Yeah, I would say. The interesting thing is, if you ask Hawks fans, I bet they would be like, we prefer Trae.
No doubt.
Yeah, we want this guy.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Culturally, he fits. He's amazing.
And he's, like, making shots from 40 feet out, and they actually won playoff series.
You know who hasn't won a playoff series?
Exactly.
He's had a better playoff career so far. Like, he's winning it so far.
How does a 23-year-old walk into MSG, every 18,000 people booing vociferously, not get fazed at all?
I have the answer to that.
He pulls up a 37-footer and does a little I'm cold motion after.
I have the answer to that.
Yeah.
When he was 10 years old, he would go into packed gyms and be 2 feet shorter than everyone else and dog all of them and bow. At 15 and 16, smaller than everybody, dog everybody, bow.
So it's in his DNA now.
It's all he knows. People have probably been yelling, like, you small fuck, from the sideline forever and just yelling
Chanting
at him.
About his hair.
Exactly.
Not phased at all.
No, it's fuel to the fire. Drop 40 on you, drop 40 on you, drop 40 on MSG. It's what he's been doing his whole life. It's quite awesome.
It's really insane. Like, I get nervous while I'm just playing practice tennis matches with a friend. Like, ooh, I'm up and I don't want to blow this. And I'm feeling, like, kind of tight.
I think that anybody who plays street basketball can relate to the pressure of, we're shooting for teams.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's just a straight line of making one free throw just to be able to play. Trae Young is light years beyond that.
Yeah, exactly. He's not scared of shooting.
He'll make the free throw. Yeah. He's probably going to play this game.
Let's let Trae play anyway. I feel bad.
He has to sit and do dribbling drills while we just brick.
The Heat got Kyle Lowry. Do you see their fun media day goof arounds with Bam and Jimmy?
Yeah. How did you think it was that goofy and fun? They were goofing.
It was goofing, but it was a little corny. Yeah. But yeah.
That Heat energy feels like strictly business to me. Like, even when they're joking, there's like an air of like, but we're at work.
They're cool.
They are cool.
Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry, Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero.
Yeah. They're cool. I don't know if they're going to be a regular season juggernaut. Maybe Kyle Lowry actually changes that.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what Kyle Lowry at this stage in his career is saying. Like, do I want to win 60 games in the regular season, or do I just want to win in the playoffs?
Right.
You know?
And Kyle Lowry's already been there, so it's not necessarily ring chasing. I think he's more like he misses the competition, the thrill of, like,
him and Jimmy Butler next to each other, that's like a lot of energy. And
it's a toss-up between those two teams, Hawks and Heat. Who would you bet on?
Hawks. Yeah, Hawks. The Heat seem like the obvious choice, better talent, yada yada. The Hawks just seem like Golden State the year before they actually became Golden State, where it was god damn, like, no matter what you do, they're moving faster than you, and like, Trae is unstoppable. That's what he really feels like Steph to me, where it's like, oh my God, this is it. It's happening now.
If you double team him, he'll pass. And if you don't, then he'll just shoot above anything.
He can get any foul. Like, he'll get fouled on every single shot he takes.
Although they changed the rule now.
He will change with it. I guarantee you.
You already had that planned. Yes. Don't worry, he will change
with it. He has people in his camp that are like, it's coming down. You need to be ready.
Yeah. There's no more pump fakes and then launch your body.
The Lakers didn't have a player who did that, now that I think about it. Knicks had Emmanuel Quickley.
Yeah, who hunted fouls like that.
Just would, like, stop on a dime, knowing you're trailing behind him, stick his ass out, and get the bump and not care about the shot.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never cared for that, but I've never had to root for a player that did that, too.
Like, it's also James Harden. Young man's move to a certain extent, and the Lakers have so few of those type of players.
Right.
Where it was like, we've been doing this since we were 16.
Maybe Rondo. Rondo seems like a guy who would do it.
Yes, he would almost have a summer camp where he just teaches it exclusively. He would never be caught dead doing it.
Can't wait for the regular season to start. Actually, Lakers Nets preseason is like in 4 days.
And the Lakers, I believe, kick off the season on October 19th.
Yeah, they play, is it the Warriors?
It's two really huge games. It might also be like Nets and Bucks that night, too.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
Yep. I thought it used to start by Halloween.
Yeah, they pushed it because of Corona and all that. So everything's starting a little earlier and finishing a little later to adjust.
There's like more space in the middle or something in between games?
Yeah, everything was pushed and now they're slowly starting to push it back.
Okay.
Okay. The Southwest Division is all the Texan teams plus Memphis and Nollins. Mm-hmm. Rockets are out. They're 80-1.
Yeah, that's another one. Every division has...
Ignite team. They're just like, call people up, see if you can score 50. We'll get you a contract on a different team.
It's low-key rooting for the Rockets.
Spurs are 66-1.
Popovich. This is just a division we're talking about, folks. Just get the 4 seed.
Pelicans are 7-1.
That I don't like.
Zion plus Ingram plus whatever else.
Yeah.
Weird situation. Grizzlies are plus 200, 2-1.
Wow, 200. I think that's the first time we've heard that. That's insulting.
Not 200-1. Plus 200, so 2-1.
Okay, that makes way more sense. Sounds like Ja had a big step back.
And then the Mavericks are minus 150. Huge favorites.
Mavericks might go to the NBA Finals this year.
You think that's just like, they just happen to have run into the Clippers too many times?
People didn't think Serbia was going to go as far as they did in the Olympics. At some point, these guys just can take teams on a ride.
Yeah, and Luke is one of those guys.
Yes. Question is Jason Kidd.
Right.
Jason, I spill soda on the court to buy myself a timeout, Kidd.
Jason Kidd coached the Bucks, left, and they got a lot better.
Yeah.
He coached the Nets, left, and they got a lot better.
And the Mavs organization didn't seem like it was all sunshine and rainbows when Carlisle left.
No.
So, like, I don't know if he's the Band-Aid, like, he's the solution that everyone needed to pull this off.
Gonna be interesting.
I don't know. Yeah. Could you see him and Luka Doncic butting heads? You could.
You could.
You could.
You could definitely see that.
Yeah.
One star point guard not respecting the other.
He also said that he wants Porzingis to play act like a basketball player this
That's
year.
That's the big question mark.
Mm. A huge 7'4" question mark.
Yeah. 7'3" question mark. When he's great, he looks like the best human in the world. Like created in a science lab, this fucking Dirk Nowitzki on steroids, just making 41-footers.
Never seen before.
And then when he's bad, he's like, what are you doing? You're 7'3" and you're getting 2 rebounds a game.
That's right. I think that the catch is he's 7'3" and can shoot the three. So Carlisle was like, stay in the corner and shoot the three. Because when you act like a Jason Kidd, quote unquote, basketball player, now you're cutting to the hole. Now you're doing all these athletic moves and you're also 7'4". And we've seen what happens when you do that. You blow out your ACL. Your legs are just so long. There's just so much room for error. So you have to like pick how do you want to use him effectively. And one, he shoots and it's annoying and boring and he doesn't get rebounds. Or two, he gets hurt because he's just playing in the paint.
Why doesn't he just like play like almost like a Kevin Durant in the post? Like whenever he like grabs the ball, someone who's 6'8" will be guarding him.
Yep.
Turn and shoot.
Yep. Yep. He would, and people would find fault in that too. They'd be like, this is just like LaMarcus Aldridge. Why are we paying him a max deal for this? You know, it's like,
because in theory, he should be making 65% of those 8-foot step backs.
It's the like catch of being 7'4" and athletic is that like, while seemingly you can do everything, you have to choose what one thing you're going to do really well, and you're never going to make people happy.
Well, hopefully Luka figures it out and tells Jason Kidd. I think that was it. Those are the last division.
Okay.
So we like the Nets to win the Atlantic, of course.
No brainer.
The Bucks obviously going to win the Central.
No brainer.
Utah or Denver? Minus 220 or plus 270. I think I can see Denver getting past Utah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take Utah there.
Pacific Division, do you like the Lakers or the Suns?
I'm going to take the Lakers there.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Southeast is a toss-up. I think I like Miami and you liked Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Butler is one of the... And Kyle Lowry. Doesn't seem like two guys that nail it in ever. Yeah. No games off.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bam. Bam is just awesome.
And then Dallas?
Dallas to win the Southwest.
If we were to bet 6-6, is there a way to do that? And what would the payout be?
Let's see. A parlay of all six?
Yeah.
We got the Nets. We got the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
We got, I'll give you Utah since they're more likely.
Appreciate
give
that.
Give me the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you the Heat instead of the Hawks if you prefer.
Okay. And lastly, Dallas to win.
I'm looking at least... I'd want 18-1 odds.
You almost fucking nailed it. It's 17.5-1. $100 bet wins $17.50.
Damn, that little moment made me sound like a way savvier gambler than I actually am.
Yeah, just like just doing the parlay calculator odds.
And we
in my
went
head.
With Miami, not Atlanta. I'm 18.
Yeah, 18-1 is right.
Right on.
Who messes that up? Any team who gets one injury. I mean, it's impossible to
guess. We'd be taking long looks at the Sun season. We'd be taking long looks at the Hawks season at that point, being like, just please don't get hot. Please get that injury to get off our backs.
Right, right, right.
17 and a half to one.
It's not bad.
Not bad.
That'd be kind of fun. You literally have everything on the line all the time. You're rooting for every single game. Like, I can't have the Hornets win. I need the Hawks to win. I need the Heat to lose.
That's what I need in between daily fantasy, regular fantasy, other gambling, and just watching the NBA.
Is something long, medium to long-term-ish on the line.
This will complement the over-under draft on top of all those other things I'm thinking about, too.
It's never enough.
Nope.
All right, sweet. William, thanks for coming by.
Happy to do it.
All right. Where can people listen to more of you?
No Joke Podcast. You know the drill. At Billy Scafuri on all social medias.
All right. Hell yeah. And thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back soon enough. And then we're going to have real basketball games to discuss.
Probably with an over-under draft in the next 2 weeks, Amir.
We do need to do that. It's got to be the fourth or fifth at this point.
Yeah, we're getting there. Damn.
That'd be fun. Cool. Okay, cool. See you guys soon. Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.